Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have a newly returned missionary, Sister Jaden Jensen, who just recently returned from the Mongolia Ulaanbaatar Mission. Hopefully I said that right. We're excited to have you here. Welcome, Jaden.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Boy, have we got a lot to talk to you about today. So many questions. Let's just start off with your thoughts when you received a mission call to Mongolia. Oh my goodness.
Well, at first I was really excited, and then I got really, really nervous because, first of all, I didn't even know where Mongolia was. And then when I saw that it was in between, sandwiched between Russia and China, I was like, oh, great, that's perfectly safe. The first thing that everyone told me is that it was the coldest capital city in the world, and that scared me because I did not want to go somewhere cold. But it was a mix of nervousness and excitement and all the things.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. You come from a place that's warm and you go to a place that's cold. So when you get there, what are your first thoughts when you get off the plane and get onto the land?
So when I first got to Mongolia, it was October 30th and it was covered in snow and everything was just kind of dead, like just covered in snow, but it wasn't snowing, everything was just frozen. And I remembered getting off the plane, and the worker at the mission office who came to pick us up was like, hey everyone, put on your coats, it's cold outside. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it was just 50 degrees where I came from, not even 50, it was probably like 80. And so we grabbed our coats, went outside, and it was pretty cold, but everyone said that it wasn't winter yet, so I was kind of just confused. And then driving around the city to go to the mission home, it was like I had just dropped into like a video game, like a zombie apocalypse video game. All these big, huge, unfinished buildings and just gray cement apartments that were like halfway done. It was crazy.
That must have been a pretty eye-opening experience for you. What were your thoughts?
Mostly, I was just kind of like, I didn't know what to expect. No one really knows much about Mongolia, so I had no clue what to expect. And I think the biggest culture shock to me, honestly, was probably the traffic, like the driving. The drivers are terrifying. They're such bad drivers, but they're all so good at it. So they'll like slam the brakes like 1 inch apart, and there's like three cars fitting in one lane somehow, and everyone's just driving all crazy. And that was probably one of the biggest culture shock things. I was like, oh, okay, this is scary. But I was definitely more nervous at the beginning.
What would you say the major differences are between Mongolia and America on a cultural basis?
Mongolians are so, so different. I mean, they're all very nice, kind people, but it's very different. Like, they're very superstitious. They're very old-fashioned. They're very emotional in the least emotional way possible.
Can you give me some examples on those superstitions and emotions?
Superstitions, they have so many. So before you send your kids out at night, if it's dark outside, you have to rub like soot on their face so that they're safe from, I don't know what it is, I think just like demons or something. And then if you're eating a sheep's head and you eat one eye, you have to also eat the other eye, because if you only eat one eye, then you'll go blind in your other eye. And if wow. you whistle inside a house, it brings like wind spirits. Same with putting things on the ground. You can never put your books or your bag or anything on the ground. And if you sing while you're sitting in bed, your mom will die.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest thing to get used to regarding to culture and like those types of stories that come with it?
I think the hardest thing to get used to culture-wise was probably just there's a lot of things that you're supposed to do and not do to in order to not offend someone. And I remember so in America, if you hand someone like your credit card, you usually hand it in between your fingers. And if you do that in Mongolia, it's really disrespectful. And so I remember being in Mongolia for maybe like a week or two and going to buy something at the store and handing the guy my card like that. And he kind of like lectured me and was like, you cannot do that while you're in Mongolia. That's very disrespectful. So there's that. And then if you step on someone's hand or step on someone's foot on accident or like kick them, run into them, you're supposed to shake their hand to show that you're not an enemy. And so that took a little bit to get used to, but now it's hard to get unused to because now I feel like I go to do that and Americans are like, what are you doing? Because it's just become a second nature. And then same with if you're walking next to someone on the street and there's like a pole or like a lamp post or something, you can't split around it. You have to walk on the same side.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I've noticed one of the things since you've been home that when you walk with people, you usually take their arm in your arm.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Is that just something that Jaden Jensen does or is that a Mongolian thing?
No, most Mongolians do that, especially in the winter because the ground just turns to ice and it's really slippery. And so you just hold on to each other so you can walk safely. But yeah, Mongolians are very touchy. And I feel like I was already a touchy person, so I welcomed that really easily. So always do that while walking.
Oh, that's great. Now, I love hearing about the culture, but you were called on a mission to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, your mission was a little bit different because you couldn't even wear a badge while trying to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so in order for us to get visas to be in Mongolia, we have to become certified English teachers. So while we were in the MTC, we spent a week at the ELC program with BYU and learned how to teach classes, teach ESL classes. And with that certification, we were able to get our visas and go to Mongolia. And then we taught English classes at church buildings and at other organizations that would hire us. Like I taught at a tax department and I taught at an orphanage. So a lot of our finding was done through English class because we couldn't directly go up to people and say like, hey, I'm a missionary from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I have a message to share with you. Like we couldn't do that. It would have to be someone coming up to us or coming to church and being like, hey, I'm interested in Jesus. And we're like, oh, well, we can teach you. A lot of our finding was also done through social media work and referrals. Every single missionary in Mongolia is on some sort of social media team. So I was on church posting. So I would make posts that the Mongolia church page would post. And then people could message them and say like, oh, this is interesting. I want to learn more. And that's how a lot of our finding was done.
Fascinating. Now I have two questions for you. You used the word hire. Were they paying you to go and teach?
No, it's volunteer work. It's just through an, not an agency. I don't remember what the word is. It's through an organization. So it's called Deseret International Charities. And that's the organization that we go through, that people contact us asking for teachers and yeah.
So was your mission more like a humanitarian mission with teaching the gospel on the side? How would you look at that?
No, I mean, in some areas you do teach like a lot of English classes. I think the most English classes I ever taught in a week was maybe like 7. But usually it's mostly gospel teaching with English being like your main, like the reason why you're here. If someone came up to me at, let's say, a grocery store and was like, oh, you are in Mongolia and also you speak Mongolian, what are you doing here? I would say I'm a volunteer English teacher and I teach free English classes at my church building. And then they're like, oh, what church? And that's kind of how the conversation usually starts.
What was the most difficult about that in finding people to teach?
There was a lot of people that I met and that I became really close with who I wanted so badly just to be like, oh, also, like, you have a God that loves you and you can pray to him and all these things. But it's just something that I wasn't able to do, especially because throughout my mission, I heard that, you know, they have a lot of eyes on us, like the government and just like people keeping watch on us, making sure we're following the rules and things like that. So it's nice when you have Mongolian missionaries around, because Mongolian missionaries are allowed to proselyte. And so when there's other Mongolians around, be like, hey, you should talk to that person, see if she wants to come to church, things like that. The youth are very good. The youth in Mongolia are so special. And they did a fabulous job of helping the missionary work and inviting their friends and talking to people about the church when we weren't able to.
That's really great. I've heard you mention before, I don't feel like a normal missionary. I want you to tell me about that statement, because really you were not really on, I guess, what you would particularly call a normal mission. Tell me about that.
Yeah, at first it was really hard because I wanted so badly just to go tell everyone that I was a missionary and tell everyone to come to my church and just tell all of them how it could help them. But I think the hardest thing for me was they gave us this really long paper of strict rules that we had to follow, especially during travel. And it was like, if someone asks if you are a missionary, this is what you have to say. And I think that really was hard for me, because I was like, well, I am a missionary. I applied to be a missionary. I'm called as a missionary. I'm set apart as a missionary. But if someone asks me if I'm a missionary, I have to say, oh, actually, I'm a volunteer English teacher, and just leave it at that. And I think that was really hard. There really is there's so many prepared people there in Mongolia that are ready to hear the gospel. And so I think once you find those people and you're teaching them, it's a lot easier to feel like a missionary. And teaching those lessons and meeting with members, I think that's the best way that I realized that I was still doing missionary work.
Thank you. You know, you mentioned about the Mongolia and the people there, and clearly it has a special place in your heart. Would you mind sharing with us an example or a story that sticks out in your mind that you think to yourself, this is an experience while in Mongolia that I will never forget. I will cherish it the rest of my life.
I think one of the most special things that happened was every year Mongolia celebrates this big holiday called Tsagansar, and it is just the funnest thing ever. You dress up and you go visit a bunch of houses and you get gifts and you eat a whole bunch of food. And it is so much fun, and I absolutely loved it. And I found out my departure date, and this year they said I was going home before Tsagansar. And I was really sad, because I was like, dang, I have to stay in Mongolia for a whole nother winter, which is so difficult. And staying for a whole winter only to like miss the big, like, you did it, winter's over, only to miss the big party. That made me really sad and really upset. But a few days before I left, it was my last full day in Erdenet. The youth there threw me a surprise party, a surprise Tsagansar party. And we all dressed up and we ate food, and they got me a cake and they decorated and we danced and sang and played shagai and all these fun things. And then they all came up to me and were giving me gifts, and all of the youth were like taking me aside and just saying like, hey, we're so grateful that you came here. We're grateful that you stayed here. Like one specific new member that I got really close to took me aside, and she just talked to me and thanked me, and she was just saying, thank you so much for coming to Mongolia, because I know that God led you in my path for a reason, and you helped me, and I want to be a missionary just like you, because you were the best missionary in my life, and you helped me so much. And just hearing that was so surreal. It was just reminded me of in my mission setting apart blessing, where it says that upon my departure, they'll hug my neck and call me blessed. And it made me think of that and just really helped me realize that everything that I did was worth it and that I accomplished what I was sent there to do. And it just helped me feel really fulfilled and was a really special night.
Oh, wow. That really is special. Thank you for sharing that with us. What do you think you'll miss most about the Mongolian saints?
They're just so friendly and they're just so welcoming. And every week before church, all of the youth and the missionaries just line up out the door and just shake every single person's hand, give every single person hugs as they walk in, just welcoming them to church. They're just so friendly and so easy to talk to. And of course, that's ironic of me to say because the Mongolian language is so, so difficult. But they're very welcoming and just so expressing of the love that they have for people.
Would you say all Mongolians are welcoming or the Mongolian youth? Because it seems like, from what you're telling me, the Mongolian youth, they're very motivated.
Yes.
To share the gospel, from what I'm hearing. Would you say all Mongolians are that way? What do you think it is about the Mongolian youth that has sparked this fire?
I don't know. I don't know what it is that started it. But Mongolians are very giving. They're giving of anything that they have. And a lot of times, like, you're going to meet angry people. You're going to meet mean people. But Mongolians as a whole, they're a very loving people. They don't have much, but they'll give what they have. They invite you over. They give you gifts. They take you into their homes. They're willing to help you whenever. And I think the youth just do a great job of including each other into that. And I know sometimes joining a new church is hard, but that's like the main age group of the branches, especially. In the city, not as much, but in the branches in the countryside, it's almost all youth. Almost everyone that we taught were in that age range. Because, of course, we find them usually through English classes, and that's usually the age that comes to English. But the youth are so very welcoming of anyone, and they just want to make friends and want to have a good time, and they do that through showing love and meeting new people.
Recently, there was an announcement that there's going to be a temple built in Mongolia. What kind of impact did that have on the saints?
So amazing. They're so excited. They're so ready. I know a lot of really strong members who have made big sacrifices to go to the temple just one time, and they just are relying on, oh yes, I went to the temple 12 years ago. It was incredible. I saved up all I had to go to the temple, and it's amazing. And now they're preparing to have a temple in their own country, a temple close by, and a temple that a lot of them are preparing to work in, which is so incredible because a lot of the people that I knew didn't live anywhere nearby where the temple's going to be. They didn't live in the main city, but they are preparing to make those sacrifices so they can work in the temple and receive those blessings.
Wow. As you think about your mission and you think about the side where you just teach English and the side where you are actually teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do you think your most spiritual experience that you had while there in Mongolia was? I know it's a big question, but what do you think your most touching spiritual experience there in Mongolia was that made it extremely special for you?
That's a really hard question because I know for like the next week and a half, I'll be like, oh yeah, also wait this one, also wait right. this one. I'll just be thinking of more and more. Yeah.
Why don't you just share one that just comes to mind as I ask you the question?
One that comes to mind is just the amount of times that I had to put all my faith in God because I knew that whatever I was doing, I couldn't do on my own. I remember one specific week, my companion and I had just whitewashed into an area, and whitewashing is always hard. We didn't know anyone. But I remember that week we had worked so, so hard. And it was Fast Sunday, and we were fasting really hard for a lot of our specific investigators and families that we had met, just praying that they would have the chance to come to church. And I remember walking into church that day and just seeing miracle after miracle after miracle, seeing our investigators come to church that had never been able to come before, and seeing less active families that we just happened to run into on the side of the street and invite to church, seeing them come back, and just seeing our whole new member family come to church. And just one thing after another just was such a big testimony to me of how aware God is of the work that we were doing and how much he wanted to help us and to bless us and to bless these people as well.
Thank you. I think that doubt when you're on a mission, and maybe even doubt in life, can creep into our minds. You talked about faith. I'm going to just make a wild assumption here and say that there may have been some days on your mission that you felt doubt. Like, why am I here in Mongolia? You know, I'm a girl from Utah, and now here I am in Mongolia. Did that ever happen to you? Did you ever feel that way?
Oh, yes, all the time.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I wasn't just out on a limb here. But how did you deal with that doubt? How did you overcome that doubt?
At first, it was really hard because I did run into that problem quite often, especially in the summer, because the area that I was in and the summer, Mongolians just tend to go out to the countryside for months and months and never contact you. You don't know where anyone is, or it's just really hard to find a lot of work. And I remember it just being so hard. And every day my companion and I would talk and just be like, why are we still here? There's no point. We're not doing anything. The only thing that we're doing is teaching English. And I feel like that's where it kind of hit me, is we took that transfer and we may not have had many lessons to teach. We may not have had much work to do, but we put everything we could into our English class. We put so much work into that class. And it just ended up being so fun, because even though we didn't teach that many investigator lessons, we were able to connect better with our English students. And who knows, somewhere along the road, we're planting seeds and maybe they'll be interested in the gospel. Or just one of those English students actually just texted me the other day just to see how I was doing. And we haven't talked in months. I served in her area in July. Like, it's been a while, and she just remembered me and remembered that I had an impact on her and was like, hey, how are you doing? And it was still hard. Every day was hard. Finding ways to fill our time was hard. But throughout that transfer, we were able to come really close to our English students. And then I remember the last week of the transfer, I found two families for the next missionaries that were going to be serving there to teach, because I was leaving. But I remember that day that we had two new people come to church and just seeing those miracles and realizing that maybe all the work that we were doing, it wasn't for nothing. We're still working and we're still trying. And even though we were only planting seeds for those transfers, we still were trying our best and seeing that there is good that still came from it.
It sounds to me like what I'm hearing is that the way to overcome that is to just jump into the work, to just dive in, whether it's through an English class or through teaching the gospel. You just jump into the work and connect with the people. Is that what I'm hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. So I've heard people say before, I know I was supposed to go to this particular mission because blank. Why do you think Jaden Jensen was called to Mongolia?
I think a big part of it was through the teaching English and the service activities and those things that we're able to do to just connect with random people every day. Because I love teaching and I've always loved teaching. And I think that was something that really allowed me to open my heart to the Mongolian people and to show them I love them and to feel their love. Because when I first got to Mongolia, it was really tough because the language barrier was so hard. And I remember just thinking, why was I supposed to come here if I can't help anyone because I can't talk to anyone? But then I kind of realized, okay, well, I can teach English and I can connect to people through that. And then as time went on, those skills that I had from learning how to connect with Mongolians was incorporated into my teaching investigators, teaching, working with members. All those people, I was able to make really good connections with them. And it almost wasn't even until I left that I realized how many people that I had impacted and how many people that I had helped. And those people, of course, they all helped me too. I think that last week in Mongolia was so very special to me because, of course, people knew that I was leaving. And so those people came up to me and told me how I had helped them or how I'd served them or what I did to help bless Mongolia. And hearing those things be said out loud was just like, oh, I did do the work I was supposed to do. I was supposed to come here. And it just made it all worth it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So you're back home. How do you think serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Mongolia has impacted Jaden Jensen? How will that impact her future?
The biggest thing, honestly, is just the faith that I have grown. My faith has grown so much because, of course, on my mission, I still struggled with doubt, and before my mission, I always struggled with doubting. But I think now it's just knowing that God answers my prayers, knowing that he's listening, knowing that he's there, knowing that he's going to help me and not gonna let me go down the wrong path. Just knowing that as I put all my faith into the things I can control, that blessings will happen and the blessings will come. And I think that just makes me a lot less nervous about whatever's ahead. And I think that's really important and it's a really good skill that I've gained. And of course, I have gained so many habits too, of daily prayer and daily scripture study and learning how to understand the scriptures and learning how to find joy in the gospel and things like that, that I am excited to continue to.
Do you feel like you gained more talents while you're on your mission? Because it seemed like you were doing a lot of using your talents in so many different ways, a variety of ways. Do you feel like that God had blessed you with even more because you were willing to serve the way you did?
Yeah. I think a big thing was being able to sing in Mongolian, being able to read the words fast enough to sing them was not easy, but that was something that I was able to do, and I was able to record a bunch of the primary songs that they were using to help teach the primary kids and the primary leaders all of the songs in Mongolian, since a lot of them were just newly translated. And that was really cool because that was only my second transfer when I started that. And so, of course, I was not very good at Mongolian, but I think that was a really cool gift that I was blessed with.
Yeah, what a great experience. That's very neat. You talked about your experience when you left, but I've heard missionaries come home and say before they need to know that their mission was acceptable before God. How do you know that God has accepted your sacrifice to go out and serve his children?
I mean, a lot of it did come through the people and through the thanks that they gave me. That was just a huge, just brought a huge feeling of peace to my heart. And then along with that, I had a lot of things stressing me out in the last transfer of my mission. And so I ended up getting a few blessings, and every blessing that I got, that was said that God is proud of my work and that he's grateful for all that I've done. And he knows I did all I could. And so, yeah.
That's a great thing to know, that you finished strong and you finished with his blessing. Thanks for sharing that. Every missionary I've talked to, they've mentioned how their testimony has been impacted by their mission. Tell me how yours has been impacted by serving.
I feel like I've always had a testimony, but I think now my testimony is just backed up by so many more experiences and so much more evidence and so much more growth that has happened to just really reaffirm the testimony that I had and the testimony that I thought I had. And now it's more just that I have no reason to doubt the testimony that I've gained.
That's nice. Would you mind sharing your testimony with us in the Mongolian language?
Of course. Borhan batl bini tingerliketzik, ter bini shunsniav, ter bini shunsniav utras ter bini tux herte, un ter bini herte utras ter bini bengt hoslikustak, ter un herbadik kitgik bimidden, un ter bini zalperlik sonstuk, bini zalperlodik harjotuk kitgik bimidden. Мэн бурхан бидэнд хайртай утрас түүний өрийн хайртай хүү Есүс Кристийг дэлгэрүүлгээсэн. Мэн Есүс Крист дэлхий дээр байхдаа олон гайхамшгуудыг хийсэн, олон хүмүүст заасан, хүмүүст туслан, мэн хамгийн чухал түүний цагаат гатл хийсэн. Мэн түүний цагаат гатл үнэхээр гайхалтай байлаг. Түүний цагаат гатлаар дамжуулан бид бүх өдөр бүр бак-багаар дахин цавар байх боломжтой. Мөн бид бүх өдөр бүр илүү Есүс Кристийг шиг байх болно. Мөн бид Йоанда төгс байх болно. Бурхан Есүс Кристтэй амьдарч боломжтой. Мөн энсүм үнэхэр үнэн, энсүм миний амьдрал үнэхэр азлан гэдгийг би мэдэн, гэдгийг би анзаарсан. Мэн би өдөр бүр илүү Есүс Крист шиг байх хичээвэл би өдөр бүр илүү арийн сүнс мэдэрдэг. Би содрос уншвал би бурхны хайр мэдэрдэг. Мэн энэ сүм бурхны хүчээр дамжуулан сэргийгсэн Есүс Крист. Jesus Christ in hajmin inge genu din sum, en sum un her unen, van Josef Smitter, dem jotlen, borni hucher dem jotlen en sum sergeksen, van manai sumin morni nam un her gai halte, morni nam dem jotlen bid Jesus Christ in zemadeni tathlar surach balmashtai, un herwe bid Jesus Christ in zemadei dagwitl bi odarbor итгэлтэй байвал өдөр бүр наймчлах юм бол бид өдөр бүр илүү аз жаргалтай байх болно. Мөн манай хамгийн том гэрчлэл бол бурхны авралын төлөвлөгөө. Бурхны авралын төлөвлөгөө нь хэр гайхалтай төлөвлөгөө нь хэр төгс төлөвлөгөө. Яг гэвэл бурхан бүх хүмүүст хайртай. Мөн тэр түнтэй хамт амьдарсай гэж хүсдэг. Мөн хэрвээ бид бурхны төлөвлөгөө дагуул, бурхны зорилгуудыг дагуул, бид бурхантай гэр бүлтэйгээ мөн амьдралыг хүлээн авах боломжтой гэдгийг би мэдэн. Амин бүгдийг Есүс Кристийн нэрээр хуудаслаа. Амин.
Amen. Just listening to that makes me think, wow, the gift of tongues really is real, because I couldn't understand hardly anything of that, you know, but I don't know Mongolian, but, you know, sometimes with different languages, you can pick out different words. I could pick out a few, but my goodness, what a difficult language.
So hard.
But listen to you now, you know, so, so wonderful. Well, Jaden, thank you so much for joining us in studio. We appreciate your stories and your sharing about your mission. And I'm sure that friends, neighbors, and maybe even future posterity will look back on this and be grateful for the mission that you served. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank all of those who joined in to listen today to your story, Jaden. We hope all of you have a blessed day. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast, or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com.
We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.